The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about why you are tired all the time, and it's not your age. I really want to be able to break down. I feel as if fatigue is just a really high concern on a lot of patients that we see really great results with. And I want the opportunity and ability to be able to share that with some of our awesome radio listeners. So we're going to talk more about mitochondria, cellular energy. So is this coming from your cells? We're going to talk about quick energy drains that most people don't even realize, but inevitably how to fix the fatigue at the root. So we're going to be breaking that down, looking at more health and wellness related aspects. If you haven't heard about what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, I do feel like it's always a really great time to be able to share, simply that it's more than just standard chiropractic in two regards. The first regard is in chiropractic itself. I think the average person is used to kind of high velocity rotary adjustments, the like where you take it and you twist it as hard as you can. We're not doing any twisting. It's all kind of mirror image tractional adjustments, Y-axis traction. But really, we work a lot more with spines that where ordinary medicine and chiropractic have failed. They really have seen a lot of results with what we do. So for individuals who have degenerative disc disease, spinal stenosis, disc-related issues, degeneration, osteoarthritis, like that's one of the many previous history of surgical fusions or surgical, like spinal surgeries. Like those are all cases that really thrive and do well in our office. And so that's the chiropractic aspect. I think the other aspect is more root cause, right? Like there is a reason why you're having these problems. So we look and dive deeper a little bit more into nutrition, detoxification, movement of the body, stress. So there's all of these aspects of health that we're actually addressing. So I just felt when I was early in practice that I really enjoyed, you know, just like something as simple as going on a grocery shopping tour, you know, like teaching patients like, oh gosh, yeah, that's just a healthier way of making something I enjoy. Or here's how I can eat healthy and clean and make it something that's affordable and sustainable long-term, not this just like quick fix, you know, cottage cheese diet for the next 4 months. And then you're like, I lost 14 pounds. And you're like, yeah, but when you reintroduce real food, you're going to gain it all back. So just more root cause. And so from that aspect, it's really where my heart comes from, is being able to see people regain their health. And part of that is with movement. Oh, I saw an awesome gentleman just this past week, and he said, hey, I've got aches and pains, but generally I just retired. I want to hike the Appalachian in 2 years. And that's one of my goals. And with what I'm doing right now, my health, I don't think I'm able to do it. And that's something I want to do. And I was like, this is awesome, you know? So we've got some work to do, but it's one of those ones that if that's his health goal, then that's my health goal. And we share that with our team members too. And what makes it even more fun is that likely in 2 years, we will have the ability to celebrate with him the goals that he set, you know, now. And so, you know, just overall, it's something awesome that we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. But some people just think, oh, well, they're just chiropractors. And you're like, kind of, but way better. So before we get down into why you're so tired, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's Health in the News, spike in deadly cancer before age 50 linked to common convenience foods. So precancerous growth develops more frequently in women consuming this food. So eating a certain type of food could increase the risk of getting a deadly cancer at a younger age, researchers say. A new study at Mass General Brigham has linked higher consumption of ultra-processed foods, which largely includes ready-to-eat foods, with high levels of sugar, salt, saturated fat, and food additives to a higher rate of precursors of early-onset colorectal cancer. The researchers analyzed more than two decades of data on the diets and endoscopy results of almost 30,000 women born between 1947 and 1964, according to the press release. All the women who participated in the Nurses' Health Study 2 underwent at least two lower endoscopies before they turned 50. They completed dietary questionnaires every 4 years around their ultra-processed food consumption. Those who reported eating the most ultra-processed foods, 10 servings per day on average, were found to have a 45% higher risk of developing adenoma compared to those who ate the lowest amount, 3 servings a day. So adenomas are growths in the lining of the colon or rectum. Although they are benign, non-cancerous, they're also considered a precancerous type of polyp and could be an early warning sign of future colorectal cancers. These studies were published in JAMA Oncology, so Journal of American Medical Association Oncology. They said our findings support the importance of reducing the intake of ultra-processed foods as a strategy to mitigate the rising burden of early onset colorectal cancer. This comes from the senior author, Andrew Chan, chief of the Clinical and Translational Epidemiology Unit and a gastroenterologist in the Mass General Brigham Cancer Institute. Always a mouthful. He says the increased risk seems to be fairly linear, meaning that the more ultra-processed food you eat, the more potential that it could lead to colon polyps. While previous studies have linked ultra-processed food and overall colorectal cancer, this is the first study to link ultra-processed foods to the early onset form of the disease. So one of the strengths of our studies was that we had detailed information about the other two or the other colorectal cancer risk factors in the participants, such as BMI, body mass index, type 2 diabetes, and low fiber intake. Even after accounting for all of these other risk factors, the association with ultra-processed foods still held up. So other factors could contribute to the increase on early onset colorectal cancers, the research noted, and some ultra-processed foods are more harmful than others. So diet isn't a complete explanation for why we're seeing this trend. We see many individuals in our clinic with early onset colon cancer who have very healthy diets. Identifying other risk factors on early onset colorectal cancer is one of the focuses of our work. Here's what I thought was very interesting. Is that when you're like, gosh, 10 servings of ultra-processed food daily seems like quite a bit. So I did a deeper dive to tell you here's what is considered ultra-processed food. Let's start with breakfast. Cereal. So Lucky Charms, Frosted Flakes, Cheerios, Special K, anything in a box. Pop-Tarts, frozen waffles or frozen pancakes like Eggo. Breakfast bars or protein bars. Instant flavored oatmeal packets. Flavored yogurt cups like Yoplait, Go-Gurt, Danimals. Starbucks bottled drinks or frappuccinos. Breakfast sandwiches like McMuffins, Jimmy Dean biscuits. Packaged muffins, sugary granola, creamer with seed oil and artificial flavors, and energy drinks first thing in the morning. That's breakfast. So if you do one or two of those things, you're on the start. For lunch, ultra-processed foods that the average American grabs, fast food combos, so McDonald's, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A sandwiches, frozen TV dinners, instant ramen, deli meat like turkey, ham, bologna full of preservatives, cheese slices, the American cheese products, or they call it the, like cheese-like products, they can't actually call it cheese, white bread sandwiches, chips, Doritos, Lay's, Pringles, canned soups, Hot Pockets, Lunchables, the salads with the sugary dressings, protein shakes made with artificial sweeteners and rancid oils, soda, tea, packaged cookies, brownies, Rice Krispie treats, right? For dinner, what we think is real food but is often ultra processed, frozen pizzas, pastas with jarred sauce loaded with sugars and seed oils, breaded chicken nuggets, breaded chicken strips, instant mashed potatoes, Bach macaroni and cheese, hamburger helper, or Bach skillet dinners, pre-made meatballs, frozen entrees, canned chili, frozen fish sticks, white bread garlic toast. I have to tell you a story about that. Takeout Chinese, restaurant chain meals cooked in canola oil. It was so funny. White bread garlic toast. I remember during COVID going into the grocery store, right? And it was like the time when people were losing their minds about toilet paper. It's like right around that. And I remember walking in and really being able to grab like everything that I needed. The guy, I didn't have any problems finding any of the food really that I needed. The big problem is that they put a limit on eggs. And I, my kids will eat like a dozen eggs in a sitting. I remember walking through and I had like all the fruits and the vegetables and like the meat that I needed and all that kind of stuff. Like everything was still there, but I remember there being not one thing of garlic bread. Like the garlic bread, like that's what everyone bought at the grocery store near my house, just a standard grocery store near my house. And I remember walking out as someone was walking in and they're like, is there anything left? And I remember saying, I'm not if you want garlic bread. I said, if you want cucumbers, there's still plethora. Oh, goodness gracious. But I think that's one too, where you think about like the average kid. What does the average kid eat for breakfast? And you're like, all of that. And so, of course, it's happening at younger ages, especially if now kids are eating cereal every morning for breakfast or they're having Pop-Tarts or, you know, these pre-made ultra-processed foods where it's like, you know, a great example of what my kids eat. We do scrambled eggs in the morning. I will do, what else do we do? I make my own waffles with like an almond flour mix, pancakes. And I don't do it every morning, but oftentimes like we had sourdough toast, French toast this week. And I made a whole loaf. I had a whole loaf of sourdough bread, three ingredients, bread, water, salt. Yep. And, you know, I just made French toast out of it. And it's the whole loaf. It lasts me to breakfast. So I just threw it in the convection oven and warmed up those pieces of toast. And that's what they had for breakfast. So my kids, maybe when we visited someone or if they're at a family member's house, like they might have, they probably have count on less than two hands how many times they've had cereal, which, you know, it is what it is. But that's just our choice for our family, right? Like we try to steer away from those ultra processed foods. So it's just there is an ability and opportunity to do it. You just have to kind of shift from what you've been doing. And to me, it's an investment in my kids' health because when I look at the rate of colorectal cancer before the age of 50, that starts when they're, you know, before they're 10, and that's the way we choose to eat now. So when we return, what about cellular energy might be making you tired? We'll talk more about it next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us.
Once in a while, I catch myself. Once in a while, I ask myself, what am I doing? Once in a while, I need your help. But once in a while, I feel like, ooh, I just want to dance.
Every day when you move closer to health, you feel good. You're tuning in to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about being tired. I think so oftentimes I have patients come in and they say, I'm just tired all the time. You know, and some people will say, you know, I think it's just because it's, you know, I'm just getting old. It's just my age. But I think about, I have a patient who had come in and she did chiropractic care, but she also did some functional medicine testing. So she went in and we kind of looked at cell cycles. And I remember just thinking, you are just this ball of energy. And she goes, I have so much energy. She was like, I was gardening and doing all these things. She goes, I just never thought I could feel this good. And I was telling someone in the office a story about her. And I was like, she's probably, I don't know, like whatever, mid to like late 70s. No, she's 87. She's 87 years old and she is sharp as a tack. I pulled her file out and I had to double check her birthday because I thought maybe they had entered it in wrong. I verified with her how old she was. And it's just phenomenal that you take someone who's 87 years old and you start with chiropractic care. And then you fill in nutritional deficiencies and then you get cellular energy back. And it's not like she should always have that, but we just think, oh, because I'm getting older, where it might be harder for cell cycles to function, but in reality, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And so I see someone who's 87 years old, who is vibrant and full of life and just excited for what the next day has for her. You know, and then I have like a newer patient who comes in and is in their like mid to late 40s, is tired, and they'll say, you know, I need a nap every day and I just don't have energy at the end of the evening. And I'm just like, oh man, that's not what you deserve. And so some of the things that we're really going to dive down into are the real reasons that you're tired all the time. And I can say definitively, no, it's not because you're getting older. And research will show that a lot of this chronic fatigue comes from very fixable metabolic and lifestyle imbalances, not just necessarily age-related decline. So let's talk about mitochondrial exhaustion. So remember, your mitochondria are like the powerhouse of the cells. It's what creates energy. And if your mitochondria can't create energy, you can't either. So that is an aspect where you're like, hey, we are just big old globs of cells, right? Fearfully and wonderfully made, but big globs of cells. In order for those cells to function, albeit cardiac, like your heart, renal, like your kidneys, uterine, if you have a uterus, right? Muscle cells, all of those. I remember going through histology in chiropractic school, and we used to have lab for histology, and lab was literally going in, and there were just like probably 36 microscopes just around the room. And you would look at these different cells, and it would be like the cardiac cell versus a renal cell versus, you know, and you'd have to go in and lab test or identifying what these cells look like. Or through tests, they would put up like a slide on the projector screen, and we would have to write down what cell that was, you know. And you think about all these cells under a microscope, and that's what we are, which is made of that, but they need energy to function. And so, for example, there was a research done in 2014 in cell metabolism, and it showed that damage or stress or inflammation to the mitochondria reduces ATP. ATP is like the currency, right? So you have a car that moves people, but you need to give it gas, right? You have cells that serve purposes, but it needs energy. That energy is ATP. So if you are the person who says, hey, you know, gosh, after like 1 or 2 o'clock, I go through an afternoon crash. I have brain fog, low stamina. That might be one that just shows you have mitochondrial dysfunction. Now, that all to being said, that is something that you can actually test it, and something that we look at through some of the metabolomics testing that we do in the office. But there are some action steps that you can take if you feel like that is you. Because our inevitable goal is to boost mitochondrial ATP production. I always like to start with the more natural things first and foremost, is when we're looking at what to eat. And this is one where, and I know you're going to say, well, I know, but I want you to eat a rainbow of food. Here's what is really great about that. Deep colored produce. So think like you can do beets and carrots and right? Peppers, and you've got this rainbow array, beautiful. They actually help produce or increase antioxidants. Antioxidants protect mitochondria. It protects that ATP. Now, natural, the other thing too is I love, for cellular energy, CoQ10. One of the best ways to get CoQ10, yes, you can take it orally, right? You can supplement with it. Yes, you can do injections with Prime IV. I love that too. I especially pay a lot of mind to that and do it more if I'm going through like a season where I'm like training for a half marathon. And by training, I mean, I hate running. I'm not a runner. I have done a couple this year. But, you know, it's not because I like it. Just it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I did it. But where it comes from is grass-fed beef, eggs, and salmon. Carnitine is also an amino acid through that as well. Carnitine is an amino acid that helps break down fat into fatty acids, so your body can use that good, healthy fat for energy. That's sometimes too why people think that carnitine helps with weight loss, but it helps break that down. I will say, again, great sources, beef, chicken, hard cheeses, you can supplement with it, but again, it's just one if we can get it through diet. So I would say, and this is oftentimes too, where you're like, where did all of this come from? And you're like, a meat-based source, right? Like when you're looking at an animal-derived protein, that's where so oftentimes I just see we can't get as much of that from more of like a vegan or vegetarian source. You know what I had heard once, because I wasn't always sure how to accurately communicate this, or gracefully. I probably did accurately and aggressively, but not gracefully. But so I was like, I like this because that it's graceful. Is that why I feel like people are successful when they do more vegetarian or vegan? It's not because they do better with the absence of meat. They do better with the addition of more fruits and vegetables. So I hope that makes sense. It's just one that I do feel like when I see people who are long-term vegan and vegetarian, they are cellularly one of the most unhealthy. It's because a lot of things, amino acids, building block for cells. But when people really say, gosh, I felt so good when I did vegan or vegetarian for the first couple months, it's mostly because of the addition of extra fruits and vegetables, not necessarily the elimination of animal-based proteins. So now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne. The other aspect, too, that I see where people have a lot of these large swings in fatigue are because of blood sugar, these blood sugar imbalances. And it is very well known across the medical community that unstable blood sugar causes fatigue and brain fog. I will say specifically through this is that one of the things I do truly like intermittent fasting. I will go through ebbs and flows in seasons where if I am working out more consistently, I will do less intermittent fasting and a lighter protein-rich breakfast. We'll kind of break into the protein a little bit more because I do know it's all the rage, and it is all the rage for a reason, is because the more I look at the average American and I say, hey, track your like stats, right? Because I don't do a lot of heavy into like, what's your macros, which is great. I just don't do it. But there's a certain point when I meet with patients and they have some desire for dietary guidance. One of the first things that I will tend to look at is what their protein intake is. And I think the average person is so surprised on how little protein they get or how much protein actually needs to be consumed to hit a reasonable goal. All of that to being said, my personal goal, and I think is good and helpful for other people, is to get on a minimum 20 to 30 grams of protein per meal. So that's where if you do that, right, we say 20 to 30, that's 60 to 90. I think the average person should be at least above 80 grams of protein per day. Proteins break down into amino acids, and amino acids are the building block for cells. So I often do a protein-rich breakfast. So that'll be eggs. This sounds crazy, but when I tell you my kids will eat it up, I will steam broccoli or roast broccoli. Oh, I have roasted broccoli in the fridge right now. I will roast broccoli or steam broccoli. I will scramble some eggs. I will season the eggs and put like a very light like goat cheese in there. Or you could do like hard cheese if you want to, just a little bit. With that seasoning and the broccoli, and it is by far, my kids will eat my entire breakfast, which is lovely and also somewhat annoying, but they love eggs and broccoli just as much as I do. It is odd, it is delicious, and it is a standard breakfast at our house. Another one is Greek yogurt. I can mix in some of our healthy grass-fed whey protein into some Greek yogurt. It sweetens it, gives it a little bit extra protein in there. I will use that. I'll put like a little bit of either vanilla extract or vanilla bean paste into that Greek yogurt, and it tastes like a fruit dip. So I'll do that with like apples or berries in the morning, and then I can do some raw nuts on there, some hemp seeds. Hemp seeds are very non-offensive. They don't have much of a taste. They're high in protein, high in omega-3s. Smoked salmon's another good one. Cottage cheese. So it is very helpful. But eating 30 grams of protein within an hour of waking. Also, if you have about a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar and water before meals, it helps with digestion. You don't have to take a shot of it. You can put it in some water. It's been years, but I used to put it in like a mason jar and put some chia seeds in there with a drop or two of the liquid stevia and let them plump up. And I used to drink that throughout the day. It's been a while since I've done that though. You know, and that's great too. But apple cider vinegar before a meal actually helps slow glucose spikes by about 20 to 40%. So that's a really great one to mix in. If you're going to do carbohydrates, I would say like berries, you can add greens. Like there's nothing wrong with wilting a little bit, like putting a low wilt on some lettuce before you add it in there. Those eggs, that's also really good. You know, I think those are ones where it's like, you can make food, good food, taste good. Gone are the days where you say, hey, here's some steamed broccoli and boiled chicken and you get no seasoning. Like no one's asking you to do that. But I think it's just being mindful of like, why are you having these crashes? Is it because your cells aren't getting energy from good food? Is it something where it's like your blood sugar is crashing because you have these high highs and low lows and you feel those low lows when your blood sugar crashes? You're not getting enough protein, right? You're like, hey, I've got a bagel and cream cheese and you're like tons of carbohydrates. Yes, there's some good fat in that cream cheese, probably some other stuff depending on the type of cream cheese. And you're like, where's the protein? Where's the protein? Where's the protein? Another aspect that I think of as well is that we always talk about like fatigue and thyroid, and it's pretty common that patients will have normal thyroid labs. Like they look normal, but like about 60% of symptomatic hypothyroid patients have like quote unquote normal labs. It's a one thing that I think of, like two pretty easy things to do. Number one is just consume iodine-rich food. So that's eggs. And seaweed. If you don't like seaweed, you can always like kind of hide it a little bit. My middle kid loves seaweed snacks. We get them from the grocery store. He eats them like chips. That is literally his healthy snack that he brings to school every day is seaweed. I'm not concerned about his iodine. But you can actually just like shred it up and like toss it on salads. Or if you have like rice and maybe you make something with like teriyaki, you can kind of put it in there. There's almost where you could like use it like a seasoning. Like you would put salt or pepper on it. More of those like maybe Asian inspired dishes. You can just put that on there. Selenium food too. Brazil nuts, tuna, and turkey. Those are high in selenium that help support the thyroid. And then the other thing that anytime I have a patient who has a thyroid issue, first and foremost, they have to reduce, and in my personal opinion, 100% cut out gluten. You will, especially with like antibodies, you will almost always see improvement in thyroid antibodies in patients if they eliminate gluten. So a lot of the times people say, I don't have a problem with gluten. It's like, well, you don't. It's not visible yet, and it's not like there's just one lab marker that says you should stop eating gluten without it being like necessarily a celiac test. And a lot of the times true celiac disease is a biopsy of the intestines. So you've got all of these aspects where it's like you could be feeling tired because you're a thyroid, even though it looks normal, but are you giving back the nutrients that the thyroid desperately needs to function before it becomes too late? Now, when we return, we're also going to talk about the cortisol rhythm disruption and other ways to start addressing your fatigue next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we're talking about being tired. Not just sick and tired of being sick and tired, but knowing that being tired is not normal. And I used a reference of my 87-year-old patient who, you know, she's like, I'm so sore. And I said, yeah, because what are you doing? And she was like, oh my gosh. She did some functional medicine testing. We addressed underlying root cause of the problem and got adjusted. She's hard to keep up with now, which I think is probably, you know, when people are like, I would never want to live to 100. And I look at that patient and I think, why would I not want to do that? Oh, you know what I should see? I should see if she wants to be a radio testimony. It's a good idea. Now let's talk about other ways for natural addressing root cause for energy. One of the things that I have found is that the misuse of caffeine. I cannot say it enough, is that when people get that midday crash between one or two, one of the first things that we end up picking up is some sort of caffeinated beverage. And usually that's around 2 or 3 o'clock. Well, the half-life of caffeine, 6 to 8 hours. So you have to think that's going to stay in your system between 9 and 11 p.m. And I feel like people will say, well, I'm not sensitive to caffeine, right? Well, I'm not sensitive to caffeine. It doesn't really bother me. But what I find more often than not is that because you're having that midday coffee doesn't like speak life into you, and it doesn't like push you over the edge, and you don't feel like you're going to like run around and do all of these things, right? That it just kind of brings you back to baseline, that it's not giving you this exorbitant amount of energy that we think then that we're not sensitive to it. But in reality, where I find that people struggle with the most is that they struggle with sleeping. And it might be getting to sleep. It might be staying asleep. We have more of this like wired and tired aspect where we're tired all day. And then the evening time, we just kind of pop up. And that does have to do with adrenals. But on top of that, right, like cortisol, stress hormones, all of those things. But then we get to the point where we're like, oh, but I've always done it. And it's never been a problem. And it's like, it is a problem. The way it presents itself is not like you would think. Because you're not like wanting to go home and run around and clean the house. And, you know, I did 5 loads of laundry when I got home from work at 6 p.m. after I made dinner and did all the dishes and washed the floors, right? And I think we think that's what caffeine's going to do to us. But because caffeine's specific design has to deal with the adenosine receptors, like it blocks those. So when your body is like, hey, it's time to chill, I want to calm down, our body's like, well, all those receptors to be able to utilize that are not functioning properly. And you're like, yeah, that'll happen. And that's kind of one. So it's one. I have my own rule. I try to bestow this on my husband. It doesn't really work as often. But I'm always like, hey, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with that coffee in your hand? It's like 3 o'clock. Because then I'd be like, I didn't sleep well last night. And I was like, oh, well, what time was your last coffee? Because he might get like a 2 o'clock coffee, but then if he sips on it until, you know, 3:30 or 4, I'm like, oh, goodness gracious. Those are, you know, I just happen to find sometimes that they're like, what happened to my coffee? I'm like, I haven't seen it. I don't know, just maybe throw it away. Maybe drink it all. It doesn't happen often, but it's one where I'm like, watch how well you sleep. And it's typically when it's like, I didn't sleep good. I'm like, what time was your last coffee? But on top of that, you know, when we get up in the morning, the first thing that we consume is caffeine, which is a diuretic. So it pushes hydration outside of the cells. So when we go to that regard, you're like, how much water do you drink? And I feel like an unfortunate broken record on this. Because when you're like, hey, if you could prioritize 2 things, right? If there's something that you're like, hey, I listened to Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Maximize Your Life on Freedom 95 recently. And I was listening to the show and it was so great. And here are my 2 biggest takeaways. Here are your 2 biggest takeaways. Prioritize protein. Eat your protein first. Number 2, make sure that you are getting at least 80 ounces of water a day. Now, in order for that water to actually be hydrating, the one thing that I would recommend is add sea salt to your morning water. Now, we have electrolyte packets in the water, or in the water, in the office that are a little bit salty. And that's something that I will put in my water once a day. And it's especially good too, I feel like, with the amount that I sweat just with working out is relatively high, that I've always just loved salt, crave salt, probably an adrenal thing, chiropractic school, all the stress of owning a practice, military husband, bunch of kids. All that being said, I've always felt like I needed more salt. And when I get more salt, you know, that salt, the minerals in there, but sodium, there's part of a sodium potassium gradient. Like, so how your muscles even become hydrated is sodium potassium. Fun fact, bananas are very high in potassium, which is why if someone is dehydrated, it's on average dehydrated, and they get like a calf cramp, right? You get a cramp in your muscle and your body's trying to like scream to you. It's a 911 that you're so dehydrated that it's like things are shutting down. So it spasms muscles to try to get your attention. Or like eat a banana, right? Drink a water, eat a banana. That's because they're high in potassium and there's a sodium potassium gradient. What I find more often than not is that because we have demonized salt so much, that we don't do it. And we've blamed salt. We're like, no, I have high blood pressure. I can't do it. Which was funny because I was talking to my dad these last couple weeks and he said, you know, I quit doing that hydration pack, the electrolytes that you have at your office. And my blood pressure went up. And there's 1,000 milligrams of sodium in one of those packets, which if you were to tell the average cardiologist that, he would probably die, but you're looking at quality source. So we have blamed salt for so long for what sugar and bad fats have done, right? We're like, stay away from the salt. But you're like, what's the salt in that you're consuming? Is it like really good, like natural sea salt? Or is it one that's like mixed into like a hamburger helper meal or a microwave dinner, right? So I think that's just kind of an aspect, but making sure that you add that salt and your minerals to the water, I think is so important. High mineral foods is wonderful. Sweet potatoes, avocados, coconut water, spinach. But it's just, you have to, like, here's a really great thing. I'm going to a Boy Scout meeting here in these next couple weeks. I'm going to go to one of the grocery stores and get like a little plant. And I'm going to get a Coca-Cola and I'm going to set out that Coca-Cola and I'm going to say, which one of you wants to pour this Coca-Cola in the plant and see what happens to it in 5 days? I'm interested to see if they'll actually do it. Like, will this plant thrive or will this plant die? And it's just going to be a way of being like, okay, so what happens when you get yours though? Like, what happens when you go to McDonald's and you look at it and, oh, I should probably get, you know, I usually bring an old McDonald's thing that you can be like, look at how it hasn't molded. Like, I had a really old one, you know, just that aspect. We were like, why are we treating our bodies like dumpsters, right? We put the worst food in, we don't hydrate. You can't go more than a couple days without water, but we push the boundaries with soda and coffee and all of this other sparkling stuff versus like water, natural hydration, eating fruits and vegetables, prioritizing protein, moving our body, all of these things. And we can't figure out why our cells are so tired, you know, even from just like a chiropractic aspect. You know, when you look at nervous system, you're like, chiropractic in general, like, one, your posture has a huge impact on like breathing, you know. So when we've got this like shrimp posture where you're like rolled over in this C-shaped shrimp, you're like, I don't know why my back hurts and I can't. Well, you're like, well, you're not breathing well. But then too, chiropractic specifically helps with parasympathetic, which is your rest and digest. That is one of the reasons why oftentimes in the pediatric population, one of the primary reasons for parents to bring kids in is for constipation. And we don't treat constipation, but oftentimes bowel movements will move because of the rest and digest with parasympathetics, but that helps with breathing as well. And oxygen helps with cellular energy. And so we have all of this aspect of like how we can get down to the root cause. But the difference is that you just have to show up. We can't help you if we can't see you. So coming into the office is truly the next step. Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Thanks so much for tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.